feel the presence. But I know there's times that for whatever reason, I couldn't feel anything and God was there. So I can't use that as the measuring rod of how much God is in any particular place. But we know this, we have to always go back to the word, He inhabits praise, He inhabits praise, He inhabits praise. So you just know. So instead of feeling, I just go to the word and say, Lord, You're here because we're praising You. Praise the Lord for saving me. Amen. What an awesome atmosphere is here today. And so I'm just going to enjoy myself. Amen. I'll be somewhere else next Sunday. But we have, and I know Brother Chris will be mentioning this later, I've been trying to get Brother Hinkle here. He was here some years ago. Some of you remember him. And just was phenomenal. He pastored for years in Orlando. And one of these kind of guys that are there. When he starts talking, you know he's not deep in the sense that he uses big words, but he's deep. He has depth. And his spirit is just one of those that you can feel the kindness and the spirit of God in him. Anyway, it's going to be great to have him here next week. You will not want to miss that. It's going to be a good service. Today, I want to, you know, you as a preacher, you have an audience that you are preaching to. As a pastor, I'm preaching to the church and any guests that are here always. I'm not saying, well, I'm going to go there today and I'm going to try to pinpoint the 8-year-olds. That would be a difficult task. And the older I am, the harder it would be. And today, this is everybody's sermon. However, particularly those students that are going back to school. Students that you've been blessed with youth camps this year or just having a good time this year, I want to encourage you. You're going back to school. That's a good thing. Nothing to fear when God is on your side. I know there's a lot there to be excited about. But what I want to try and do today is focus us, to show us a way to focus to a point that we can receive. Amen. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 through 13. And this is what is called the Lord's Prayer. We hear a lot about it in January, and we break it down, talk about it. And it's also good for July and August. After this manner, therefore, Jesus is saying, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I want you to repeat it with me. You know it. Some of you just could quote it. But let's start with verse 9 and let's say it together. After this manner, therefore, pray you. Go with me now. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Good outline. That's not my prayer. He said, pray like this. But that's a great outline to follow. Lord, I'm asking you today to touch this church. Bless us, God. Lord, let your spirit truly, truly be our guide. Lord, I pray specifically, Lord, touch our young people today. Lord, instill in them a desire, a purpose, Lord, to carry on, to ascend, to go higher and higher. Lord, let your work be done in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so the title of this is The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. That's the title. Very simple. Concise, I think we all could digest that. And really, it is the greatest ending of this is really the greatest ending that we could ever begin with. Because he said at the end, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're very familiar with that, and you know, it's been quoted so many times and over and over by sincere people as a way to just to obey what Jesus was saying. And that is in itself a good prayer, and many people pray it. But little really is said about the ending. As a matter of fact, he says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I read a commentary some time back, and this was one of these old commentaries. You know, those sometimes are the best. But this writer of the commentary said, really, Jesus may not have even said those words. It might have been added by the translators. It might be something they thought should go there. So I went to a different commentary. I chose not to use that one, because I really believe that this was the Word of God. I believe that when Matthew recorded this, it wasn't the only time that Jesus said it. I think he's consistent. He's the same today, yesterday, forever. And he probably used this at other times and as he spoke to different groups of people. And I'm sure the wording, you can read this in another gospel, and the wording's a little bit different. But what we're seeing is he's saying this. Here's your outline to follow. But after that prayer, I have never, that I recall, made any point to teach or to preach on the ending. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. But as I began to think about that this week and dwell on it a little bit, I realized that there is a great deal of worth in the ending. Because what this is going to do for me, it helps me to direct my walk and my aim, and it points us in the right direction. Amen. So here he has showed us the outline, but then not only do we have the outline, now he says, I'm going to give you your purpose, you're going to start from here. And that's what I hope to do today, is just for a few moments, and I'm mindful of the time, I want us to be able to grasp this ending that he put there and use it in our arsenal. Matthew, I'm thankful that he did remember those words, and he shared those with us. And so, first of all, I've got 3 points. Amen. 3 points. And you can probably go ahead of me and guess where I'm going with these 3 points. And sometimes, you know, sermons are mysterious. You don't know where he's going. And sometimes they're mysterious to me. I don't know where I'm going. And those are not good ones. Those are the times when it seems jumbled. You know, we don't like those kind of Sundays. But this one here, I know where I'm going. Thine is the kingdom. He said, this is the ending of this prayer. His kingdom is truly the classroom. It's the break room. It might be the daily grind at work. It might be our finances, our troubled relationships. It might be our future that's unclear. Understand, he's saying, trust me, that's my kingdom. Whatever you've got going on in your world, it might be up or down, good or bad. He said, that is my kingdom. I've got rulership over that. Amen. Don't check out. Don't walk away because you're a mess right now. He said, that's mine right there. Amen. So don't think you got to get good to get God. You got to get God, and he will give you goodness, and it will follow you. Amen. Amen. So it's his kingdom where we are right now, but tomorrow on your job, that's going to be his kingdom too. And if you let him, he'll have control of his kingdom. Amen. He'll have control there. Our God is able to take you from wherever you are and whatever you're doing. You might say, well, my job is, you know, a drug dealer and I sell drugs. I do pretty good. You better be paying tithes on that, by the way. I mean, you don't want to, you know, you want it to be blessed so God can pull you into the boat. But trust me, if that's what you do, God, that's his kingdom. Now, y'all be real. You know, I'm not saying, you know, God bless you with your sales. I hope you're salesman of the year. The kingdom of God, it will visit you and say, before you go do hard time, let me pull you into the boat. Let me get you on my team because I'm about to save you a world of trouble right now. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, you can't be anywhere and be outside of the domain of God's kindness and his glory and his grace. You can't get there from here. Thine is the kingdom. First of all, understand that right there, God. In my good, in my bad, when I'm right where I need to be, where I'm everywhere I shouldn't be, it's still the kingdom. He's got me there. You can be messed up, but call on him. I have proof for that. Jonah went the wrong way. Jonah caused a ship to almost wreck. He finally said, throw me overboard. I'm going the wrong direction. It's me. I'm out of the will of God. They threw him over. He figured it's over with until a ship got him or a whale bit him. What it could be worse than being in the deep and thrashing around? Oh, wait a minute. It's about to get worse. You've been eaten by a giant whale. And now he's in the belly of that nasty thing. And he's thinking, I'd just rather have drowned. And now I'm going to be slowly digested and so forth. But no, no, that was his tomb. That was the kingdom of God. Jonah was in the kingdom of God. God had him there, said, I got you, buddy. You thought you was going the wrong way, getting away from going and prophesying to those wicked people. His only reason for leaving was because he said, Lord, I knew that you was going to have mercy on them. Think about how crazy that is. A preacher was preaching truth, and he said, I knew you were going to forgive them and not destroy them. I knew it. That's why I went the wrong way. Okay, Jonah, you just got tired of revival? You just got tired of having converts? You know, you just got down in the dumps. I'm thinking today that Jonah had a little depression issue going on, and God was still able to use him. And he's going the wrong way. God's just sitting there going, well, you just keep on going. Yep, just keep on going. I got your next ride's about to show up. And finally, Jonah, right on cue, throw me overboard. It's me. I'm out of the will of God. Boom. Here comes his ride. I got this. By the command of God. When he got through being in that whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights, I believe that when that whale threw him up, it wasn't like just he tumbled out. I mean, I think it was a projectile. And he hit the ground like, where in the world is Nineveh from here? I got to get there. And instead of him going through Nineveh with an attitude, you sorry people have wasted my time. At the last time, I'm not coming back again, but please try to repent. Talk about a bad attitude. Instead, here he is, maybe seaweed still stuck to him, I don't know, but he's running through there. Repent, repent. Why? Because I've been in a fish's belly for 3 days, and God got my attention because I thought I could run from God, but his kingdom overshrouded me. It covered me. You can't get away from God, his kingdom. Thine, Lord, is the kingdom. It's everywhere right now. Amen. The Jewish nation went into captivity for 70 years. Near the end of that captivity, before they were released to go back, and they went back in groups mainly, but in the book of Esther, we read about her uncle Mordecai, and I don't want to go deeply into the story, but realize she became the queen because his queen Vashti rebelled. And so there she is now for such a time. And he said, if you remain, Mordecai said to her, you know this decree is going forth and your people now because of Haman had the evil decree that he's going to kill all the Jewish people. So he's going to get, and all because of Mordecai wouldn't bow down to evil Haman. He says, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. Thank God for faithful people that know, oh, God's going to take care of this. Yeah. But you and your father's house were perished because this decree, this is your death warrant. You will die. So that's a settled fact. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this right here. We're in captivity. You understand, you're in captivity, but it's the kingdom of God. Lord, I'm in a marriage it's the kingdom of God. Trust me, God can work in those situations. My job is a dead end. That's the kingdom of God. I seem like I'm going down instead of up. Kingdom, he's got you. It's thine is the kingdom. When you pray, don't say, only God, I was somewhere in your will. You are in the will of God when you're praying to God, but you are in the kingdom of God. He's got options that you've never heard of. He's got options up his sleeve you've never seen, and he can come through in ways that you could never think of. The Almighty God who can say, let there be light, that can form worlds and Saturn and Jupiter and Mars by just speaking, he develops these things. That God is not ever out of options. It's his kingdom. Lord, thank you for your kingdom. Deliverance will arise. There's going to be deliverance. There's going to be moves of God. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be disbursements of blessings. I may as well be a recipient. Amen. I may as well understand I'm in the will of God. So, Lord, go ahead and just bless me. Let this be your kingdom. Amen. Go ahead and just dump your blessings on my lap. I may as well receive it. Amen. We are literally saying that this world where we fight our battles, it's his world. He's the Lord of all and over all, in you all and through you all. He is God. It's his kingdom. That job where you're at, you may not like it. That's his kingdom. You can pray your way out of there. Amen. And he may be using it for a greater cause. Amen. This really makes me get in the back seat and say, Lord, you go ahead and drive, because I never really knew where we were going anyway. Let's let God be God. Yeah. Thine is the power. Thine is the power. Judges 4. talks about Deborah was a prophetess. Now, I don't know, Israel was going through a lot of trouble. They had just claimed the land, but they had several years where the Lord would raise up judges because they would misbehave and the enemy would rise. You know how just over and over again. And sometimes judges reigned in simultaneously in, you know, smaller areas. But it said, you know, Deborah was a prophet and the wife of Lapidoth, and she was leading Israel at the time. And so she held court at this area. It's called Deborah's Palm. It was where these palm trees were in Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And so they would go up to her and have their disputes decided because Deborah had the wisdom of God. And so she sent for Barak. And the Bible says this man, you know, was a prophet of Abinoam and from Kadesh in Naphtali. And she said, "The Lord God of Israel commands you." She goes, "Listen, Barak, there's going to be a victory. It's already settled. The Lord's already written this. It's already done. But go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. And I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops and to the Kishon River and give them into your hands." So what God is saying is, "Barak, come here. Come here. I just need you to take an army of 10,000 men and you go over there. I'm going to lead the enemy to you. And Sisera is just, you're going to kill him. You're going to annihilate him because he's causing problems with Israel." It was done. That's what the prophetess said. Well, here's what he says. This is Barak that God chose. He said, "If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't, I won't go." Now, this is the word of God. Now, I don't know if he had a problem with women. I don't know if he had a problem with women preachers. I don't understand why the word of God comes from this woman and he says, "All right, I'll do it. But you go with me." In other words, you know, kind of put your money where your mouth is. But he didn't understand. I've heard from the word of God.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
See, it's his kingdom, but it's also his power. Thine is the power. Not just the kingdom, but God, it's not your kingdom. And then it's all on my hands. We can't do this on our own.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
We can't. I need God to give me power.
Yeah. Cool.
And she said, "Thus saith the Lord." And he said, "All right, I know the Lord's all in it. Why don't you go with me and let's see how that works out?" She had, I believe, an immediate answer because God already knew, as like he knew Jonah was going to jump ship, God already knew. Certainly, she said, "I'll go with you. But because of the course you're taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." And he didn't say, okay. No, he said, "All right. I'm good with that." He was a little bit scared of the calling that God had him set up for. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. And then this is the song that she sings in the next chapter, Judges 5. This is just 6 and 7. It's a long song. We don't want to sing a long song right now, but I'm just going to give you two little verses. She said, "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael." Guess who Jael was? Jael was a woman that had a tent, and her family, in days gone by, they knew Sisera and they had been close. And he sees her standing outside of her tent, and he comes in and says, "You got to hide me." And she goes, "Oh, I'll gladly hide you. Come here." He goes, "Give me a drink of water." And he was looking for some Dasani water, and she gave him some warm milk. You know what warm milk does? It'll put you to sleep. So he's like, you know, "I don't want to be rude." He drinks the warm milk. He lays down. She covers him up with a nice thick blanket. And he goes to sleep. And this sweet lady grabs a tent spike and a hammer. Oh. She's probably singing a lullaby. And she smites that hammer. The Bible says went right through his temple. Nailed him to the ground. And then she walked out. In the days of Jael. And she says, "I got him. I've got your enemy. Where's he at?" He's nailed to the floor. Quite literally. Quite literally. Unfortunately, oh my, if Barak would have understood that when you just realize that it's his kingdom and it's his power, Lord, it's not just your kingdom, but it's not by might or by power, but the Word of God is our power. It's not about your effort. It's not about what you know, but it's about who He is. His power and the power that's in His name is more than we could ever come up with on our own efforts today. So when Jesus said, thine is the kingdom and the power, what He's saying is, you need to understand this is not just a nice little ending to a prayer, but this is everything we need right here. It's His kingdom and it's His power. And when you've got God's power, you've got everything. Oh, you've got everything. Until we grasp the idea that the kingdom is His, this concept of having all power is going to be difficult for us to receive, that He has all power. If He's over the world, then the power belongs to Him. All might, all power. See, Barak really couldn't believe that God could be powerful through his own effort. You know, God, I know you're powerful, but I'm not. Barak, you don't understand. God uses people. His power is displayed with people. People that will give Him the credit and the glory. And now if you're scared, He's going to give the glory to somebody else. And so, yeah. In the days of Shamgar. Oh, your name's in the song. Yeah, well, just to keep reading. In the days of Jael, Barak, from now on, everybody's going to know you chickened out and God put the hero right next to you that really did all the work. And her story is in there. You can't change the Word of God. The story tells that he went to the tent of the Kenite, Jael, and met his doom with a tent stake. You know, the enemy captain. Oh, Lord, there's going to be captains that will come up against you. You're going to fight devils. You'll fight your own flesh. But you can conquer it through the power of God. You can conquer it through the power of God. Isaiah 40 tells us in verse 30, even the youths shall fall. Now, I was telling somebody a while ago, I said, my message today is telling our men, in our meeting earlier, I said, my message today, I said, you know, it's, I always hope everybody can benefit from the sermon. I said, but I am really speaking to our youth today. You've been to youth camps. Some of you have been to camps. You've been to camp meeting. If you went to camp meeting, my goodness, we had an amazing, awesome camp meeting. And this summer, a summertime that break can lift you. And then sometimes it kind of has the opposite effect, depending on what we do. But if you didn't go to camp, I'm telling you, just, this can be a time of making up your mind, because what happens is you go back to school, you're in a different grade, a different level, and it might be one of those ages, it might be one of those levels where it's more serious. Your relationships now mean a little bit more. They could even cause you to kind of direct your life a little bit. And I just want to tell you, youth, right now, please, we got some awesome, wonderful, great young people. And some of you have graduated. I love these youth that we've got, passionate worshipers. And y'all know today, it's our youth, really. They're the anchor of worship in this church. And, oh, they've got the strength. God, continue to bless us with more youth like this. And we've got them coming up. But young people, listen to me. It really is His. Thine is the kingdom, and it is His power. So when you look ahead and you see the world ahead of you and say, I don't know how I'm going to fit into that, and I don't know about my future, I don't know about, you know, my associations, and I don't know who I'm going to marry and what I'm going to be, understand it. It isn't you. God's writing the script. It's His kingdom, and it's His power. It all belongs to Him. He will work out what you set your mind to do. If you listen to the preacher and say, God, I'm going to follow the Word, I'm going to put my hands around it, and I'm going to see where it leads, He will pick up the rest of the slack, and He'll work for you, and He will meet you at the point of your decision and bless you. God is just looking for people. He's just looking for somebody to walk outside their tent and say, Lord, you can use me. I'll work for you, God. I've got a hammer. I've got a spike. I'll take care of the devil. I'll do it. That's who God's looking for today. Willing hearts. Willing heart. So Isaiah said, even the youths shall fall and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Whether you're going to be flying, or you're going to be running, or you're going to be walking, God said, whatever you're doing, whatever the job demands, whatever life throws at you, I am going to be there to empower you. You will never, never be without me. I'll be there for you. Being young can be lonely when you make up your mind that you're just going to serve God. because there's some that you have to pull away from.
Right.
Friend, let me tell you, I had to say goodbye to some friends.
Yes.
Amen. And then being in the ministry, had to say goodbye to some other friends. Because it's a life that you need God for.
Amen.
When we avail ourselves of His kingdom power, what we're saying is, Lord Jesus, stand by me, Lord. Be here where I am. We read about those 12 boys from Thailand in a cave exploring. They wanted to go all the way into the back of the cave, and it was kind of a thing people do. And then they write their name on the wall back there, and they want to put their name. And they didn't know that, you know, the rains could come at any time, and it rained. It flooded the you might have saw the map of how there was a tunnel that went down and then back up, and it filled with water. Y'all know the story well. But those boys, they were in dire straits, but had to be rescued by people that knew how to go the other direction and have the equipment, breathing apparatus, scuba diving equipment. And they were totally dependent on help from the outside. And they knew, we're not going to be able to hold our nose and swim that far. In no way. You got to not only have diving equipment, it has to be the best divers in the world. Trained SEALs that can come in there, and they know how to take somebody. They had to train each young man and how to breathe and how to take the tanks off and get through areas. That right there, I was thinking, oh Lord, yeah, I guess desperate enough, I would do it, but my wife and I were talking about it. They had to be very patient and wait and learn and wait their turn to get out of there. And we were all so thankful that that wasn't one of those tragedies. We just heard about the duck boats that crashed, and I have a pastor friend in Dallas, his music director. That was his family that you see, that 9 people, that's his family. And he's suffering right now from it. And things like this come. But I'm so grateful that when it does, our God already knows, because it's His kingdom and it's His power, and He will keep that which you've committed unto Him against that day. In other words, God, if I've got my life committed unto you, ups and downs are going to come and tragedies will strike, but you will keep me, God, and you will keep my faith, and you will keep my relationship intact with you. And that's what I want above all things. Don't let trouble come along and tear me away from my relationship with God. It's His kingdom. It's His power. Lord, it's your power. It's your power. Jesus told them, they were come together, and they said, Lord, you know, before His ascension, before He ascended after His resurrection, they said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, are we going to be back like in the glory days? They were missing it. He said, look, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father's put into His own power. You're not going to know the times and seasons of His power. He goes, but you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Don't worry about that. You're going to receive power, because thine is the kingdom and thine is the power. And when they received the Holy Ghost, then they understood what Jesus was saying. Now we have power. We have overcoming power. Dunamis power. Dunamis. There's 2 words that are used in the New Testament. And this is dunamis. It means the word we get dynamite from. Doing power. You can do great exploits. And God gives us exousia power also. That is restraining power. We can keep things in their place. We can have authority over things and spirits in our life. That's exousia. God gives us this power that we can use, and we need it at many times. And don't confuse the demonstration of praise and worship with His power. It gets emotional up here. We get emotional. That's wonderful. We need to be emotional. But don't take that emotion you feel and say, all right, I'm back where I need to be with God. Apparently He forgives me. He's going to forgive me for what I'm about to do. And therefore, we're back in good standing. I've watched youth come in and repent and get blessed and go back out there and do exactly what they said they wouldn't do. And I've seen them come in, repent, and get blessed and go right back out there again. And they wear a trail that's a pathway. It's like going through the woods, and you can find paths. And when you find those paths, you can realize where everybody's been going. And they beat a path because they know, I'm going to repent and feel the presence of God. And then I know He's good, so they'll go back. I'm going to tell you something. One day it'll be over. One day it doesn't do that anymore. It's His power that you're feeling. It's His power. And then last of all, Lord, thine is the glory. Thine is the glory. Thine is the glory. We need to aim high. We need to aim high and say, Lord, this is the word glory means the evidence, the external evidence of an indwelling Christ, the glory. I see glory on its face. When we see the glory of God, we're seeing the evidence of God in someone's life. This is very important. When we get the order of His kingdom and power, then we're in a position. Because it's like you walk into an archway of a grand building and you just know you're in a beautiful place. You know, one of these historic places. My wife and I was in New York and a lot of historic places there. And going into that huge Penn Station, was that what it was called? Rail station. And I mean, Grand Central, thank you. And Grand Central Station, you know, you've heard the words growing up. It's Grand Central in here. I'll tell you what, when my mom or somebody in a busy atmosphere said it's Grand Central in here, it's not like Grand Central. Grand Central is what Grand Central is. Massive, massive. I'm sure most of you have seen pictures or something of it, but massive place with people going here and there. And what was amazing is we went down below, we came in through a subway, and there's a world down there. It was a world of restaurants and shops and people and trains and subways, and just it was just mind-blowing. Where all this stuff that was going on, Grand Central there, people coming from everywhere and going everywhere. See, in God's kingdom, there's an order to it all. You could look on the wall and you could see every train, every subway mentioned. There's an order to all of this. His power, His glory. Moses was told to speak to the rock for the water to come out. He was frustrated with the people. The Lord likes to demonstrate His power. And so the Lord said, Moses, I want you to speak to that rock and the water will come out. And so what Moses was supposed to do is go to that rock and say, oh rock, provide water, or something of that nature. He bowed up. All right, when I say bowed up, think about a cat. You know why a cat bows up, they say? It's because when a cat bows its back and its hair stands up, it's supposed to look bigger than it is. And an unhealthy cat doing that is just funny looking. Because it's just, it ain't working. But it's their nature, and if you're a cat lover, I'm not against you here. But when that cat bows up, it's supposed to look like, you know, watch out for me. You ever watch Little Boys? They stick their chest out and their arms go like this. Kind of like a fighting hen, you know. Little bigger. But they're trying to bow up and be something they're not. And they may use words that their mother would not let them use because they're trying to bow up and say, I'm going to tell you how bad I am. Moses got bowed up and he took that stick and he just started whacking that rock. Water came out. God had mercy on the people. I'll tell you something. God can take the preacher and deal with him and you never know it. Because he's a gentleman. He said, come here, Moses. Y'all enjoy the water. Enjoy it. It's a great miracle. What in the world do you think he was doing? My mother learned how to talk with a smile as she would sit in the church and just be saying, bless him, Jesus. And she could turn to me and get a hold of me and talk to me and straighten me up real good and keep that smile. Kingdom, power, she maintained the glory. It's His glory. It's His glory. It can be a messy thing when we kind of swerve over into His lane a little bit, you know? But it can also cause the picture to get blurry. We need to be sure that God is clearly visible in our lives, and it's God. He said, I want the glory of your life. You know, God knows this. The church has many people that come in and get delivered and get blessed, and then they just become their own self, and they get glorified in who they are, and then you can't see God anywhere around them because they've already got this own show going on, and God tolerates it and tolerates it. He told the church, he said, here's the deal. Jesus said, you know, there's going to be wheat in the church, but there's going to be tares. The enemy comes, and he puts tares. They look like wheat, but they're not wheat. He said, don't go into the church and pull them up. Just let them be. Why would he say that? Because they're not going to threaten us. Somebody that just says there's something for God and they're not, it's not going to threaten us. He said, because if you pull them up, you're going to destroy the people that think they're cool. No, well, he didn't say that. He said, you're going to destroy the plants that are planted with them. And they don't know. He said, so let the tares grow there. You know why? Because there's enough power in the church. There's enough mercy in the church. There's enough good worship in the church.
Yes.
Amen. That a few tares are never going to bother the church. And I'm not looking out saying, I wonder who the tares. I'm thankful to God that I don't know there's any here that are fakes. I think everyone here is genuinely serving God. Amen. That's why we've got such a great atmosphere in this place. Thank God for that. But he said, it's not going to bother the church if they're there and they're not what they say they are. But just don't mess with them. It would get messy. Thankful God for a great church. The order has to be the kingdom, the power, and the glory. You can't get them out of order, because first of all, it's God's kingdom. Next, it's his power. And under that, Lord, here we are demonstrating. I can't do this without the mercy of God and without being connected to the kingdom of God. I can't pastor a church, can't teach, can't preach unless I've got God helping me every time. Lord, we need you in every way. Everything that we do, God, we need you today. We need you today. And the result is you are made an overcomer. See, the glory, the evidence of a divine God, that's where we celebrate the win right there. Lord, the glory is me when I say, Lord, you're in me and you're doing things I can't do on my own. It's all you. It is all you, God. Revelations 12 and 11, as we stand. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives. They love not their lives unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, of their testimony. Lord, I'm grateful today for thy kingdom, for the power, and the glory. Because when this is... It's at the end of a prayer. It's at the end of a prayer. But when this is the doorway that I live under, the roof that I dwell under, it's my protection. I know, God, it's all your kingdom. And Lord, the power, not by might or power, but by my spirit, it's God's spirit power that we have today. And the glory, Lord, I'm not here for me. I'm not here to bring anything on myself. I'm here, God, to give it all back to you. Let the glory be to God. Everything I do, Lord, let the glory be to God. See those, you get that lined up. And you get lined up under that protective covering. You feel the presence of the Lord just moving in here? Because we're buying it. We're receiving it. We're saying, I get it, Lord. I'm going to do this. It's your kingdom, Lord. And the power is all yours. There's hope for me. There's hope for me. And the glory, God, belongs to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. I have seen people get too lifted up for God to use. I've seen pastors, preachers, we've all seen things like this, tragedies, where they get too lifted up. They get too lifted up in their own sight. And pride takes over, and they think they're infallible, and they become unusable. But what God is looking for is not perfect people. Understand, he's not looking for perfect people. Matter of fact, I find it very difficult for God to use perfect individuals. There's nowhere for God to fit in. There's no gaps. There's no holes. If we're cheese, we're Swiss cheese. You know, there's holes. Incomplete. Looks like people aren't getting their money's worth with us because we just got empty spaces. I'm okay with the empty spaces because it's his kingdom. It's his power. It's his glory. Amen. We're all just a little bit crippled. We're all very needy. And we're all codependent. Oh, Lord, I am very dependent on you. I'm depending on you, God. I can't do this without him. I can't do this. I don't know if we could have a better service than we had last week. This was one where the church said, we'll take it. And the church responded to prayer lines and the power of God all over this place. I want to tell you today, if you're here and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, that can happen today. I want to open this altar up to you. It'll happen today. All you've got to do to receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible said repent. That means just, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm turning my life over to you. And just in your mind, I'm turning away. I'm turning to my back. He will empower you to do the rest. Repent. Forgive me, God, of all my sins. Forgive me of my wrong. And then you begin to just thank God for the Holy Ghost. Praise him. He responds to praise. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Jesus, for filling me. I know you're going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And while you are giving praise to him, he will put words in your mouth. He takes over your tongue, and you will begin to speak words you don't understand. That is the Holy Ghost. That's the evidence that he said, I'm going to live inside of you. This is where I'm going to dwell, and you're going to feel different. Amen. One person from another, it's going to be different, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can fall on you right now in this house. God is in this house. Hallelujah. Oh, and you can be baptized today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God is here. God is here. Let's gather down here. If you want to pray with us, I'm inviting you to come down. Raise up your hands and talk to the Lord. He is able to pour out the Holy Ghost today. Oh, mighty God, in your great name, Lord, in your great name, Lord, in your great name, God. You know the ones that are hungry today. You know the ones, God, that are empty and they need you to fill them. Father, in Jesus' name, fill the hungry, Lord. God, fill the hungry, Father. Fill them, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, fill them. Oh, Lord, fill the hungry souls. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. He said, it's forever, it's forever, it's forever. Oh, fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Holy, Holy God, Holy God, Holy God, Holy God. Yes, 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 Lord. Mighty Savior, we praise you.
And honor and glory and power. Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Holy God, Holy God, Holy God. Yes, 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 yes.
God, who was and
Amen. Blessing, power, and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time we've had in church today. My family was out on vacation last week. We were able to see you guys have church, and that is an awesome thing, to be able to know that our church family is being poured out with the blessings of God. And it's just an awesome feeling to be in the presence of the Lord. This morning, I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we began to make ourselves ready to come into the house of the Lord and feel this. What we have in this place today is definitively apostolic. We came in and we prayed, we gave the Lord praise, we were taught, and we were preached to, and we responded. We are originally apostolic, and I'm very proud of that heritage today. But we have a number of announcements. For those of you that are praying, you can continue to pray, but we have a number of announcements. We have 7 announcements, so I figure that's a perfect amount of announcements for today. But prayer meeting each Tuesday. Prayer meeting each Tuesday at 7 p.m., and we've been having great gatherings. And I'll tell you that it's the prayer meetings on Tuesday that lead to the teaching on Wednesday that leads to the shouting on Sundays. And it starts with prayer. So if you can make your way to prayer, 7 p.m., Wednesday worship in the Word. The Word has a name, and it's Jesus. And on Wednesday, we will get into the Word of God, 7:30 p.m. Next Sunday, we have a special guest minister, Reverend James Hinkle. Pastor had touched on that. Pastor and Sister McGuire will be out of town. We'll pray for them at the end of the service. But Reverend James Hinkle will be in, and we should look forward and be praying for the service next Sunday, that the Lord would give him the message of the hour. This week, teen camp in Ocala, services start at 4 p.m. They've changed the structure. I will say that Louisiana does have horrible roads, but I was talking to Brother David today, and they have taken some advice from Louisiana camp, and this year they're changing the service times and following what Louisiana does. I think the roads are so bad because everyone's going to the camps in Louisiana. Vacation Bible School is August 1st. That's right around the corner. We have a graphic up on the screen. Can you guys be in prayer? Please be making invitation. There's a number of us that have been making ourselves ready to minister to children. And there are children that need to feel this, that have not felt this presence, that can feel that through Vacation Bible School. They can have interaction with apostolic folks, church folks, and feel the love of God. And it could be only one summer that they come to Vacation Bible School, and years down the road, they find their way back into the house of God and remember the place where they felt the presence of God. Hallelujah. For the Wednesday, August 1st, 2 weeks away, instead of church, since we will have Vacation Bible School, we will have fellowship in the annex. So if you're coming to church on Wednesday, it'll be a fellowship night. We'll have things going on in the annex while our Vacation Bible School is going on. If you're a first-time visitor today, wow, that's a lot of announcements. If you are a first-time visitor, we would like to meet with you. The pastor and the ministry team would like to meet with you. We have a room that's just to the right of the exit. As you leave the building, if you look to the right, there's a building. Please stop by and meet our ministry team. And in closing, I would like to pray. I would like to pray for the Lord to bless Sister and Brother McGuire, Sister and Pastor McGuire with safe travels. Also, Matthew Gissel. Matthew Gissel is in the hospital right now. He's suffering with kidney stones. So if we could make prayer for him. And another thing, Pastor touched on the family that died in the boat accident. There were 17 that died. And there was a family of 10 aged 75 to 1 years old. And they were apostolic folks. It doesn't matter. There was a family that, you know, 9 of the 10, my mind can't wrap around it, but 9 of the 10, age 75 to 1 years old, and there was one left, one of the family members. If we could pray, if you could say a prayer for this young lady, that the Lord would touch her. But if we could bow our heads and begin to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask that you would protect our pastor, that you would protect our first lady as they would travel, dear Lord Jesus, as you would go with them, that you would, that healing virtue would flow upon her father, dear Lord Jesus, that you would touch that situation, that you see the needs, dear Lord. We ask that today that you would touch Matt Gissel, that as we would but call his name, that you would touch his body, that you would bring peace to that situation, that you would remove all pain. And we pray for the family, dear Lord. We pray for the lady that was affected by tragedy, that we know that you would be in this, dear Lord, that she would see that your ways are higher than ours, dear Lord, that she would not lose faith, that she would be strengthened and comforted by your power in the Holy Ghost, dear Lord. We thank you for all of this. We claim this in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be blessed in that mighty name. And dismissed.